Hello, Channel Pros. Well, the excitement and hype of sales kickoffs is dying down. How are you feeling? Are you energized and excited about the year ahead? Is your partner organization positioned to truly drive company growth? Welcome to the Channel Journeys podcast. I am Rob Spee, your cycling, sailing, and partner ecosystem fanatic, and your host of Channel Journeys. I'm curious, how does your company view partnering? Is it a functional department siloed from the rest of the organization? Perhaps it's integrated into your sales strategy, but it stops there. One of the messages I've been promoting at Beyond Trust, and it's been a topic of conversations I've been having with ecosystem leaders and analysts and various folks, is that partnering has to be much, much more. My thinking on this topic was actually inspired by today's conversation, which took place at the beginning of the year. Today's guest, Jill Rowley, is a strategic advisor for Nearbound. I met Jill after hearing her on Barrett King's Outcomes podcast. She was talking about the Nearbound strategy, and you're going to learn all about that Nearbound strategy and why partnering needs to be not just a department, but a fully integrated business strategy. Before we get to Jill, I want to give a shout out to MPartner, the sponsor of Channel Journeys. Building a partner ecosystem requires a powerful partner management solution. With a global user base of over 4 million partners, MPartner is recognized as the leading provider of partner management technologies. Their platform offers powerful capabilities like program compliance tracking and customizable partner journeys, enabling partner teams like yours to quickly move from program design to maximum time to value. And they're constantly innovating and launching new modules like the partner locator that we're using to help you engage and enable your partner ecosystem. All right, are you ready to hear how and why you need to integrate partnering into your company's business strategy? Let's go.
Welcome to Channel Journeys, the podcast for channel professionals that will enable and inspire you to create your best channel journey ever. Meet and learn from channel experts who share authentic stories of their channel victories, defeats, and lessons learned along the way. Here's your host, Rob Spee, a channel chief on a never-ending quest for channel knowledge and adventure.
Hey, Jill, good afternoon and happy new year to you.
And to you, Rob, thanks so much. I'm excited to have the conversation today.
Yeah, I'm very excited as well. Now, by the time this goes live, it's probably a little bit past New Year's, but we're recording it just in the first week of January. And you and I have had some really fun, interesting conversations leading up to this. And I think what's interesting, Jill, is I think the worlds are colliding. You know, the kind of the pure SaaS world that you come out of, the more traditional technology world that I come out of with slightly different views of partnerships. But they really are merging now, which is fantastic. So really looking forward to this conversation. I'm curious, Jill, maybe we start here. What was your view of partnerships historically, you know, before all this talk about ecosystems?
Yeah, sure. So I'll rewind the clock 23 years to my first quota carrying sales role. And that was at Salesforce.com. And it was called Salesforce.com back then, not Salesforce. And I was one of the first 100 employees at Salesforce. And all we were selling then was Salesforce automation. It wasn't a multi-product, multi-cloud solution. It wasn't really even customer relationship management because it only had account, contact, lead, opportunity, forecast, and reports. That was what Salesforce was then. But what was so cool about it, it was the new delivery model of the software. And it was subscription from day one. And so my sales career over 23 years has always been in a subscription browser-based software as a service model. And the interesting, I think the first like foray for me into partnerships was one of my customers at Salesforce was a company called Eloqua. And Eloqua, born SaaS about the same time as Salesforce, at that point under 10 employees, brand new product, creating a new category that didn't exist, which was marketing automation. And so Salesforce was Salesforce automation, Eloqua was marketing automation, and me seeing the need for marketing and sales, and I very clearly saw that Salesforce plus Eloqua would be better together. and internally at Salesforce was having the conversations back in 2001, 2002 about how do you get these systems to talk to each other.
So it started as a technology integration or alliance type partnership.
That's exactly right. And the partnership didn't actually form then. I actually left Salesforce after 2 years and joined Eloqua as employee number 13. And it was later that we were able to actually get them integrated, the two products integrated. And then ultimately, my goal at Eloqua was to get Salesforce as a customer. So they were a partner, but I wanted them as a customer. And it was 3,321 days in the pipeline before Eloqua was able to win Salesforce as a customer. And that was just a career-defining moment for me and really important for the company, Eloqua, in terms of the category development.
And then from there, these technology-type partnerships, did it morph from there? Because you worked for Eloqua, you worked for HubSpot, companies that have very strong agency-type partnerships. Is that where it went for you?
For me, the agency services, solutions, consulting, whatever we want to call them, that whole partner ecosystem started for me personally back in 2007.
Okay.
At Eloqua. And we sold very powerful enterprise grade software into the marketing organization. And so this maturation of the marketing function was underway. The ability for marketing and B2B to use data, that was very new. Marketing had very little technology. And so there was this education that was required, not just around the software, but around the profession of marketing and teaching the marketing professionals how to be modern marketers. So one of my customers in 2004, a guy named Dave Lewis at Ellie Mae, he was the SVP of marketing at Ellie Mae. He deployed Eloqua at Ellie Mae and was incredibly successful in driving change and transformation within the organization. And he came to me in 2007 and said, there's a lot of change happening in the B2B marketing industry. And Eloqua is incredible in terms of the power of the technology, but the services that are required to actually use the software beyond using it for batch and blast email, it doesn't exist in the market. And I'm thinking of launching an agency that would help companies deploy the software and build programs, demand gen programs, to do more sophisticated nurturing, routing, scoring, and reporting on marketing campaigns and program dollars. And would you bring me into deals? And I was like, of course, because I saw that I couldn't even sell the software to a lot of companies because they didn't have the domain experts internally. They didn't have the resources internally to do anything with the software. And so it was very clear I would bring Dave Lewis in early, not like when I closed the deal to deliver the services. I would bring him in very early to bring credibility. So Dave was our first services agency partner at Eloqua. And then we saw quite a number of customers of Eloqua start agencies to deliver services to our existing customers, future customers, and then ultimately to generate their own opportunities to earn a percent of the subscription license fee.
Yeah, fascinating, which is very different than my history, my world, you know, of building channels and resellers and distributors, and then having a few system integrators who are implementing. And that's where I think this is all merging. So how did you go from there to now ecosystems and this new idea called Nearbound?
I've been seeing the transformation of buyers buying and the world in which they live. And I've seen the transformation from buyers didn't have access to the information and sellers and marketers had the information and you had to engage a salesperson to get the information. When social networks really exploded, now buyers had access to peers. And when communities became more communities, more niche communities, geographic, and ultimately, like, the internet doesn't know any time zones or geographic boundaries. All of a sudden, buyers now not only had access to information because we had moved to this inbound content marketing, so they had access to information and content and webinars and ebooks and white papers and so forth, but with social networks, now they had more access to their peers. And what I saw was buyers would rather not engage with a salesperson, a pushy, selly, always be closing salesperson. They would go into their networks, into their peers, into the communities and get informed. And when I define ecosystem, it isn't just partners. It isn't just like integration, tech, ISV, developer, or services partners. To me, ecosystem goes beyond that. And I look at it through the lens of the customer's ecosystem, and that includes community. It's everything outside of your four walls. And even ecosystem to me includes the analysts, the industry experts, the thought leaders, the speakers. I think of ecosystem as what is outside your four walls that your customer belongs to, that they trust, that they're influenced by. So that's the broad ecosystem. Partner ecosystem is more of the companies that you are better together.
Yeah. That's really just making me think. We were talking about words and how words matter, right? And so just even thinking about partner ecosystem versus ecosystem is really two distinct things. The ecosystem is much broader, as you say, all these other influencers. And so how did that formulate into this idea called Nearbound? When I first heard Nearbound, I was like, oh, it's just another catchy phrase. It doesn't mean a whole lot. And then I heard you on a podcast explaining, it's like, and then finally the light bulb clicked for me. So share that with our audience who maybe they're not familiar with this.
And most still aren't, right? And in particular in the channel world, because Nearbound and the company, the software company that's creating this new category, Reveal is the company. It's account mapping software at its core. They coined the term Nearbound, and their ideal customer profile has been more of that B2B software world. Reveal is now actually moving into Nearbound channel. And as you said, the worlds are colliding, and I think they're combining, and there's overlap in the channel and the partner ecosystem. This Nearbound is at, like, psychology and brains we're trying to compare something new to something we already know. And so Nearbound is a play on what we already know. We already know outbound, right? We've been doing outbound. Outbound is interruptive, right? You're targeting, you're prospecting, you're hunting, you're interrupting the buyer. Inbound we know, which is you're attracting and you're pulling buyers, leveraging content and events, something that is of value to them, but it's getting saturated because in particular now with AI and the ability to crank out more and more content, we're flooded with content. And so Nearbound is a surround strategy. And it starts through the lens of, again, the customer. Is who is surrounding the customer, the ideal customer that you want to have, who do they surround themselves with? Where are their established nodes of trust? Where do they have existing relationships? Who is in their ecosystem? Who is nearest to the customer? And how do you get nearer to those who are nearest to the customer? That is the concept of Nearbound. And the idea is, how do you partner with those who your customer already does business with, that when you integrate your products or you wrap services around it, that that creates more value for your customer.
And I've heard you say it's also a concept of moving from the how economy to the who economy. Tell us more about that.
We used to go to Google and how do I do multi-touch attribution on my marketing campaigns? What sales methodology should I use if I'm in an enterprise B2B sales motion? What pricing models can I design if I'm product-led growth motion? We'd go to Google and we'd ask how and what. Today, again, with more access to our peers, to people who have done the thing that we're trying to do, we first want to go to someone who's done the thing, right? Solve the problem, reached the promised land, been promoted, won an award, been recognized in the industry. And we want to learn from people before. We want to know who, who's done it. And then I can figure out how and what, but I want to figure out more of that how and what from the person, the who's actually done the thing, who I can trust.
Ideally, you're surrounding the customer with those people, right? That are those influencers that have done it before, that are in your ecosystem.
You want to be the connector. So my superpower is connecting. It's connections. And my superpower is connecting people to ideas, connecting them to insights, connecting them to content, connecting them to other people. And when you can be the connector, then you are bringing value, right? I want to make the introduction to you, Rob, because you are on this journey and you have a podcast that I want to recommend people who are trying to learn the things that you cover on the podcast. I want to refer them to your podcast. But more specifically, I want to refer them to specific episodes of your podcast. And so I can go in and look at what are the various episodes. And I want to get more connected in channel, right? I want to build my network in channel. So I go to your podcast and you've interviewed a lot of channel experts. And so I go and listen to those podcasts and then I reach out to the people that you've interviewed and I say something that I learned from them and I connect with them. And now they're part of my network. And now I'm actually on LinkedIn. Their content is coming into my feed. And so now as I build, and this is how I did it when I jumped into the partner ecosystem world, I've never been in the partnership function. I've always been on the sales marketing side, direct. I've always partnered. As you heard when we started the podcast, I've always had a partner mentality and I've always partner to win. Like I win with partners. My customers win when working with partners. But as I came into this partnership function, I wanted to learn from the best. And I went and I listened to the Partner Hacker Partner Up podcast. I listened to the Partnered podcast. There's a lot of podcasts on partnerships. As I'm learning about channel, I'm going to channel specific podcasts like yours, Vince Menzioni, The Ultimate Partnering, Jay McBain. I've actually known of Jay for a really long time, but he's a great source because he can tell the story of traditional channel and he really is at the forefront of this transformation from channel to partner ecosystem. I'm surrounding myself with people who are expert in channel so that I can learn about channel and build my influence, build my reputation in channel.
Yeah, and I think what you described, Jill, the way you're going about this is the same way that sellers, partner managers, anyone can also expand their network of the ecosystem, right? Going out and finding those other contacts that are influencing the customers. What other recommendations would you have for sellers, for partner managers, for even marketing folks to execute a nearbound strategy?
I think it does start with knowing your ideal customer profile is really important. And that's where I was talking about marketing and marketing as ideal customer profile and knowing the customers you generate the most value for, and not necessarily just the ones that pay you the most money, but those who are delivering value to their companies, those who are growing the fastest, those who are your customer advocates. Because your best salespeople aren't on your payroll, comes down to trust. They're your customer advocates. And so understanding who your existing customers, who else do they work with, right? What other technologies do they use? What agencies or service providers do they work with? And when you start to hear that they're using a certain piece of technology over and over again, you're like, oh, I think I might want to partner with that company. I know the MarTech and the RevTech world really well. So mapping out who the different players are in that tech stack, you could do it with HR tech and fintech and agricultural tech and retail tech. But understanding that landscape and identifying, okay, from a tech perspective, where do I plug in? Where does it make sense that these two categories of software work better together? And then also, who are the solutions partners, the service partners who actually deliver that other technology? And does it make sense for them to add mine, right, into their portfolio of services offerings? So it's really mapping out, like understanding what that ecosystem looks like. What are the other products that your ideal customer is using? And in the segment, whether you're SMB, mid-market, enterprise, in the geography, but doing that ecosystem mapping and identifying who are the potential partners.
You come out of marketing automation. Are you seeing any of these companies moving in any sort of path that would help companies do more nearbound type rather than what they're built for, which is really, you know, creating and sharing content?
I think there are, let me take HubSpot, for example. There's a huge opportunity for HubSpot. HubSpot went from marketing automation, one hub, to now they have six hubs. They have a platform that developers can build on top of. They have 1,500 app partners that integrate with HubSpot. They have 6,000 agency service solutions partners. What they don't have is a partner hub. And I think there's a big opportunity for CRM players to have the ability to look at the relational data, the interconnected, networked relational data between what's in the CRM and what's external in other companies' CRM to do that account, that data mapping capability.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's a really interesting tool. I can't remember it now. I saw it once and it's for podcasters. And you enter in the name of your podcast and it really shows you, it builds out like a community view of all the other podcasts, that some that are really close to your podcast, others that are adjacent to it. And it creates like this map of the podcast universe and all the interconnections. And it's used to think of ways to promote your podcast. And one of the ways to promote it is get on those other shows. So it's identifying other shows that you want to be on. But I think that's the type of association community automation that you're talking about.
Absolutely. And I love that example. And we're going to see more and more of those examples. If you, let's say you're a company and you start a podcast, you want to interview your future customers. You want to invite them onto the podcast. You're doing discovery, right? You're doing sales discovery by interviewing those companies, those people who you want to be your customers. What I love is this like network effect, this ripple effect, this compound effect. You start showing up where your ideal audience, your ideal listeners, you start showing up where they're already listening. It's like fish where the fish are swimming. Don't try to create a new pond and get the fish to come into your pond yet. Go fish where the fish are swimming. And if you don't like salmon and you only like trout, then don't go into the salmon stream. Go into where the trout are fishing.
Yep. Yep. All right. So let's jump track a little bit. One of the other things you and I chatted about, which I think is really interesting too, is this shift that, and you call it, well, you had a great term from it, from channel ship to partnerships. But it's this concept of that partnering can't be a department in your organization. And it's not just a sales strategy. It's got to be much broader as a business strategy. Tell us more about that and what you're seeing. And do you think companies are starting to get this?
I do see early adoption of the understanding that I think we're going to have partnerships as a function. It's kind of a catchy phrase, right? Partnerships isn't a function. It's a strategy. We need the function to exist, right? The strategy, though, is I talk about infusing partners or threading partners across your go-to-market. So a lot of companies do think about, from a product roadmap, the build by partner, right? We see a need for incremental functionality to solve a problem that the customer has. Okay, are we going to build that functionality? Are we going to acquire a company that already has that functionality? Or are we going to partner with multiple companies that provide that functionality? So partners in the build by partner roadmap thinking, co-innovating on a product with partners, the threading partners into your marketing. So thinking about your positioning in the market and your messaging to the market, not just your brand, your product, but the larger story, the bigger story, and what is that story that the customer, the future customer, would benefit from hearing, doing events with your partners. And going beyond sponsor doesn't equal partner. Historically, traditionally, we like to say, oh, we're going to partner. And we're really just asking you to sponsor.
We just want your money.
We just want your money. And we're going to let you set up a booth, but we're not going to do any, you know, speed networking. We're not going to put you on the agenda. We're not going to do huddles and make the introductions to the sales team or even like the customer success organization. That's an untapped opportunity. We think about partnering, we think about co-sell, right? And we'll get to the co-sell motion too. But I think the better co-selling is done when you have the joint value proposition by marketing, right? Marketing, I challenge, go look at all of the customer case studies, the customer success stories that you have, that you've taken all this time and energy to write. Go look at those through the lens of, are there partners who have helped that customer be successful? And rewrite that case study as a partner, right? Customer, partner, multiple partners, telling a bigger story, and then promoting that to all of the audience, the bigger audience. Awards, right? We do customer awards, industry awards. How about partner awards? Wow, wouldn't it be amazing if your best partners were actually at your President's Club event? Talk about loyalty to your organization. But this co-sell, yes. And not so much of the co-sell is, I'm going to give you 5 accounts, you're going to give me 5 accounts, and we're going to call that co-sell. There's no co in that.
Yeah. And we all know how that play turns out.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
What I want is I want intel, right? As a salesperson, I would want to know who within the organization is the mobilizer, right? Who's the change agent? Who gets shit done, right? Like, who's actually the one who's going to stand up in the room and say, we've been doing it this way, and there's a better way to do it. And I've done all of the research, and I've talked to all the people who have done the thing that we're trying to do, right? I want to know, how does the organization work? How do decisions get made? And I want influence.
Yeah. Well, and I think Nearbound strategy is dependent on that trust, right? Trusting your partner, trusting each other to share that information, share those details.
That's yes, trust. And we hope that it's all in the benefit of the customer, not just our company and our commission as a salesperson. Hence why marketing and customer success, they're so important to be able to have that joint value proposition from a marketing and a positioning and a case study and an event. But that should be developed through like your customer success organization. They're closest to the customer. And so they're actually the ones that are hearing why this all works better together or when it doesn't. That we all talk about all the good things and how this is the joint value proposition. But my guess is you have customers who are using partner technology or services that it isn't a better together story.
You better find out about that too. Yeah.
Find out about that and either, you know, fix the partnership or not all partnerships should be in perpetuity.
Yeah, that's right. No, they got to have a reason. You know, going back to partnerships being a business strategy, I was looking at a lot of work that McKinsey is doing, and they're talking a lot about ecosystems, and they have a new book out called The Ecosystem Economy. And I was listening to a podcast with the authors talking about it. And they're saying, you know, we all know about the digital transformation and what's taken place, but they say this move to the ecosystem economy is the largest economic transformation ever. And they think it's just massive. I mean, this is so much bigger than just what we're talking about.
It's way bigger. And I definitely, when I wrote down ecosystem economy and the other like EY, they have actually gone so far as to document 7 different ecosystem business models. And the way bigger is when I hear like Snowflake, for example, talk about their partner ecosystem and their partner strategy, what they're finding is that there are customers of Snowflake identifying opportunities for them to actually build specialized, industry-specific, segment-specific products and offerings on Snowflake and become a partner in a specific vertical, in a specific industry. And so we're seeing customers become partners because they're using the product and they're understanding the possibility. And then the business model goes from one company paying you money to this one to many of driving different use cases for your product. So there's a lot of transformation underway.
And it's this really big transformation. It's all platform based. These are platform strategies, and they're going to be a few winners. You know, they're going to be a few massive platform ecosystems, and the smaller players need to figure out how do we take our ecosystem and then attach to that bigger ecosystem, you know, long term.
Everyone wants to be a platform, right? On the, you know, the VC side, on the investing side, and looking at companies and evaluating them for potential investment, you see a lot of companies that are actually just a feature. They're not even a product, right? They're a feature. You see companies that are actually a product, and very few reach that platform where they are the platform that everybody does hook into, but one of the products that hooks into the hub, right? The supernode. And if you go out and study the best eco, there is Acceleration Economy, Bob Evans. I know Bob from my brief stint at Oracle when Eloqua was acquired by Oracle. And by the way, that was in 2012, end of 2012. Oracle did not know how to partner back then. Definitely not in the cloud app environment. Like Oracle was really focused on integrating within their stack, the 7 layers within their stack, and then all the apps across their portfolio. They weren't as externally focused on outside of their 4 walls. And now, 10 years later, you have Larry and Satya in the same room, building a partnership between Microsoft and Oracle. Who would have thought that Oracle would be a partner forward organization? So if Oracle can change, the rest of the world should be able to change as well.
The rest of the world should be changing. Yeah, absolutely. That's so funny. All right. Well, time-wise, we need to start wrapping up, but I want to jump to something else that's always fun. It's just, you were talking a little bit about your career path. You've never really been in a partnering position, but you've worked with partners. You think partnerships, you think ecosystem, you're thinking Nearbound. I think that's really cool. And is that continuing? I'm a little bit curious because you're an advisor. Your background is kind of always around advisor and evangelist.
Yeah, that's right. So my superpower is connecting dots, which is what partnerships, which is what ecosystem is really about. I think more strategically of what's the bigger picture and who are the players, what are the pieces of the puzzle, and have really strong pattern recognition and have been at the forefront of creating new categories and understanding and being a student of the transformation of buyers and how they buy. And so I've seen and lived and been at the forefront of the outbound movement, the inbound movement, and more broadly, go to market and looking at the entire life cycle of the customer. How do we win? How do we keep? And how do we grow? And in particular, in this subscription world where your buyer has to decide to renew, right? Whatever your contract length is, I just am fully convinced that people don't want to be targeted, hunted, prospect, and interrupted. They are overwhelmed and inundated with content. And who do they trust? Right? Learning from their peers, the who, and looking at every tech stack. Like I look at the landscape diagrams that CB Insights publishes, hence why like fintech and HR tech and ed tech and agricultural tech and med tech. And I look at these diagrams and I see just the sheer volume. There are too many software companies, disparate, disconnected data, silos. And so when I look at that just messy, chaotic, big, and when I look at all this technology and the adoption rate being low, the utilization, and in the economic environment that we live in now, the rationalization of every piece of tech in the tech stack, the need to reduce the spend, the need to actually show value creation, outcome and output, this not again just the technology needing to work together, but the services wrapped around it. 2024, we're going to see more investment in services and solutions partners. As without adoption and utilization, you will get cut from the tech stack.
Yeah, it's certainly what we're doing, Jill, you know, and we're shifting to the SaaS model. So that is pushing us and driving us that we have to. In the SaaS model, you just have to have that type of services, partnerships, folks that can really go in and do that end-to-end consulting, end-to-end implementation.
So it's the pattern recognition that has me commit and my experience of winning with partners and keeping customers, having higher, you know, faster time to onboard and value with partners, greater retention and expansion with partners. I just know that we're overdue for a correction. And just like in the early days of marketing and the maturation of the marketing function, if you needed to grow, you just hired more salespeople. You didn't invest more in demand generation. You hired more salespeople. And we saw that change over time. We then realized we needed customer success, education, academy, community to keep our customers, to grow our customers. We're seeing today that companies don't want to buy individual pieces of software or hardware. They want a bundle. They want a basket. They want a collection. And so how do we actually be the one that puts it together for them through our partnerships, through the co-innovating, the co-marketing, the co-sell, the co-grow? We do the work and then we show up as one.
Yeah. You know, Jay has a great example of that. New car buyers, particularly millennials, they won't buy a car if it doesn't have Apple CarPlay integrated, you know, into the car. It's like, forget it. I'm not buying it unless it has that integration. They want it all one.
That's a differentiation.
Yeah.
So now when we think about what are our differentiators, it can be that we integrate with something that our buyer needs, has, wants. It has to, one of the number one factors in buying a new piece of MarTech is that it integrates with the other products that the customer already uses.
Yep. Maybe to close this out, tell me with your superpowers, what do you enjoy doing outside of connecting dots in the IT and channel space?
I love to exercise and I love Orange Theory. I can't remember if we talked about that, Rob.
We did not, but there was another guest, Hope Galley, I think, from Cisco, if I remember correctly. I think she was, I'll check. I think she was a big Orange Theory advocate and practice participant.
Well, I'm writing Hope down because we are a tribe. And if Hope is an Orange Theory tribe member and she's in channel, I now have my LinkedIn invite.
There you go. You've got a trifecta there.
And there we are going to bond very quickly. So Orange Theory, it's an addiction. It's data driven. So I'm very data driven and it has a monitor. You wear this monitor and then you have a leaderboard.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Of the calories you've burned, of the time you've spent in the different heart rate zones, and you earn splat points. For I mean, it is like gamified. We have different events that we measure our time, our challenges, and our benchmarks. And it's community. You've got a coach, and I love having the coach. So as you can tell, I'm very passionate about Orange Theory and exercising.
Well, that's very awesome. So you talked about getting connected with folks. Folks listening to you, I think, are going to want to get connected with you on LinkedIn. So get ready for a flood of more channel connections.
How about personalized connection?
Yes. Yes. Personalized.
Yeah. Like say that you heard me on the podcast, right? And tell me that you love Orange Theory or that you're on the journey from channel to partner. Challenge me. Maybe I've said something that isn't actually what you believe. I love a good challenge. I love to learn. I'm not always right. So yeah, personalize the invite to connect and I'd be thrilled to learn and to grow together.
I'm glad you added that. Jill, this has been fantastic. Really enjoyed the conversation. I think everyone else will enjoy it as well. Wishing you a fantastic year. This can be exciting 24.
It's a breakout year.
Breakout. All right, cool.
Thanks for listening to Channel Journeys. For show notes and other Channel Journey podcasts, visit channeljourneys.com. If you liked today's show, please forward it to your channel friends and be sure to tune in for Rob's next channel adventure.
All right, guys, what a fun and interesting conversation with Jill. She really is so much fun to speak with and bounce ideas around. Great deep dive into the Nearbound strategy and weaving partnering across the business. But I've got to be honest, guys, this is not easy. You need complete C-suite buy-in across your entire executive leadership team. Did you catch Jill's idea of inviting your award-winning partners to your President's Club event? If you can get your company on board with that one, talk about a loyalty builder. If any of you guys are doing that, let me know. For all of today's show notes and links, go to channeljourneys.com/CJ135. You can subscribe to Channel Journeys while you're there so you don't miss an episode. And be sure to check out the new book written by Jared Fuller called Nearbound. I suspect Jill played a role in that as well. Be sure to check out our sponsor, Impartner, at impartner.com. Next episode, you're going to hear how my guests successfully transitioned their go-to-market approach and their products to shift to an MSP channel strategy. You don't want to miss it. Until then, have an awesome channel journey.